Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. It's the opening round of the National Football League. It's the preview show for the opening round of the National Football League. Football is back. Inter-county football is well and truly back. The club season is obviously now over. We've nothing else to look forward to in terms of club football, but we've a lot to look forward to in terms of inter-county football. And 16 games this weekend, so a lot to really dig our heels into, a lot to discuss. We're going to be looking at each of our predictions as well, obviously. For those of you who didn't see Bashu's video over on his own channel, the Gaelic Statsman, he posted his own predictions over there, so make sure to check that out. And I posted my own predictions on my channel as well. But we'll be looking at each of our predictions, comparing them, contrasting them, and seeing, who's going to get laughed at more in a couple of months' time, basically. Who's going to be eating their words more than the other. And, there's some absolutely cracking games this weekend. You've got Galway versus Mayo, local derby. You've got Kerry going up against Derry. Mickey Hart's return just happened. You know, it just has to be away to Kerry, doesn't it? Dublin against Monaghan in Croke Park. I have my ticket for the game, so looking forward to it. And, some really good games, like Donegal going up against Cork as well. We'll get Matthew's opinion on that. Huge game for Cork to have. The first game back for Jim McGuinness, if we're discounting pre-season and all that. Matthew, inter-county football is back, and there's definitely a lot to discuss, and I suppose it's going to be great because it's going to be like that now for the next couple of months.
Exactly so, and thanks for having me on again, Aaron. In fairness, the inter-county season is back. The club season was great and all that. I think it was probably the most entertaining hurling club in particular in the last few seasons when you look at the semi-finals and the final. But obviously the inter-county season is back and up and running. We can't forget as well the college competitions is going on as well, so it'll be interesting to see how inter-county teams integrate with that. I see with Cork, like even Conor Corbett was playing with DCU this week. I think he scored a lot there. So he'd be tired, I'd imagine, if he plays against Donegal this Sunday. There's a lot of Dublin players, I'd imagine, playing for DCU or TU Dublin or UCD in this competition, in the Sigurdsson Cup as well. Fitzgibbon Cup on, a lot of hurlers with Tipperary, Limerick, all that, playing with UL last night. So, a lot of action happening at the moment between colleges and inter-county as well. But, the inter-county season is back and definitely looking forward to it. And a lot of live games this weekend. I just noticed that 6 live football games, 4 Division 1 and 2 Division 2 this weekend. So, lots to look forward to.
Absolutely. I suppose the first thing maybe before we dive into the fixtures and everything else, like, do you think the league is still as important as it was in previous years? Like, when you look at how the championship is now structured in terms of the amount of games that teams play in the championship, like you look at Cork, for example, last year, usually Cork would have what, 1 or 2 games in Munster, and then, you know, maybe 1 qualifier game and then All Ireland quarter final. Whereas last year you had your games in Munster, 3 games in the group stages, a preliminary round game to get into the quarterfinals, and then the quarterfinals. So many teams now have so many games in the championship. And we saw last year that it did probably catch up in a lot of teams who went very strong in the league. The likes of Galway, Roscommon and Mayo were all gone by the time, you know, the semi-finals came around, and only one of them reached an All-Ireland quarterfinal. So do you think the league still has the same importance as previous years, or could you see maybe more teams maybe take their eye off the ball a little bit?
It's an interesting viewpoint, definitely, because when you look at Division 4, even last season, if you want to go that far, Wicklow reached the Division 4 final, and they didn't, I think they won 1 game in the Tartan Cup, but it didn't matter against Limerick on the last day. So that probably epitomised that sides probably shouldn't go as strong as they did in the league. But even look at the league finals last year, out of the 8, I think only Dublin, Derry, Sligo, and I'm struggling to think of the division. Oh, yeah, the only M3 really had very good seasons. Dublin won the All-Ireland, Derry got to the All-Ireland semi-final, and Sligo got into the All-Ireland series and got to a Connacht final and tested Kildare all the way in that All-Ireland series. The other 5, Galway, Mayo, Cavan, Fermanagh, and Wicklow did not have a good season at all. Fermanagh lost 2 games in the Tartan Cup, which they should have really won in any other year against Antrim and Laois. Cavan went out really tamely, in my opinion, in the quarterfinals and down last year in the Tartan Cup. Galway Mayo didn't reach as far as they would have liked in the All-Ireland series. And then when you look at Wicklow, barely won a game in the Tartan Cup either. So, like, there is the argument that you maybe should rest your peak form to the All-Ireland series. But I do emphasize the point that Division 2 and Division 3 this year more than any other year, I think, is going to be very, very important, because according to my calculations now, that the Division 3 champions, the winners of that final in Croke Park, will be in the All-Ireland series come the summertime. So it'll be crucial for those counties like Down, Westmeath, Sligo, whoever's up there in Division 3, contesting to win that Division 3 title and maintain their place in the Sam Maguire Cup. And as it is, the sixth place in Division 2. Like, you look at Loud, Cavan in particular, Fermanagh, possibly Meath could be down there, Kildare as well. That's important to them. So it's going to be an important season for many other counties. But for Division 1, I feel like there's going to be sides that are going to rest a few players. Like Jack O'Connor's come up recently and said he's going to rest the two Cliffords, which I honestly expected him to do. Paddy Clifford and David Clifford apparently are not going to play in the first few games, and that's understandable. It'd be interesting to see what Desi Farrell does with the Dublin team. Will he give Luke Bradlock more minutes in the team? Will he give Padraig Covey-Byrne a few minutes in midfield? Or will he go for Theo Clancy at full back? Or will he put the old lads in straight away? It'll be very interesting to see that. But yeah, I genuinely think that if you're going to do well in the All-Ireland series, I think it's better off that you rest your peak form to that All-Ireland season in the summer. But even look at the three that did well, I mean, Sligo, Dublin and Derry. Only Derry performed close to their best in the league. Sligo didn't have to perform to their best in Division 4, and Dublin certainly didn't in Division 2. So there is a strong argument there to say that if a side does better in the All-Ireland series, they'd have a much better season than the likes of Mayo and Galway. So yeah, it's up for debate, but I think this season in particular, I think teams might wisen up with the All-Ireland group stages. It was a new thing last year. I think they might wisen up this year and think that the summertime is the time to peak.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose we saw that with Dublin last year, who looked fairly ordinary really for the majority of the year up until the quarterfinal against Mayo. Obviously a few performances here and there, but generally speaking it had been fairly underwhelming up until that point. Big up to everyone in the chat. Daniel says, will the 36 man panel hurt teams with lots of injuries and players slow to return from club? I suppose it depends obviously on the county and depends on obviously I'm sure there'll be some players slow to come back to Cork, obviously from Castlehaven, probably the same at Bridget's, same you'd imagine with Whitey Grahams Glen and Derry, unless Mickey Hart does a Rory Gallagher on it and he just throws the players in straight away. But I think that'll be madness, to be honest, especially away to Kerry to do that this weekend. Mikey says, all right lads, we're back, we sure are. Monaghan have a full turnover of players and I still wouldn't write them off staying up. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Monaghan do keep producing at underage level, so you just can't discount them, even with players who mightn't be there, like Rory Began and whatnot. Daniel says, big Derry crowd here and heading to Tralee Saturday night. Can't wait. Yeah, I'd say that would be a great night out, in fairness. Mikey says, it's like Fermanagh retired after the league last year, and Division 2 should be much better this year. Everyone knew which two were going up before a ball was thrown in last season. That is a fair point. Very, very true that. So yeah, I suppose we'll crack in with the games this weekend. We'll start with the Kerry and Derry game. Obviously the first men's intercounty game. Obviously there's ladies football on before that on TG Cahir. But in terms of the men's game, this is probably going to be the first game I think a lot of us will watch. It's on Saturday, 5:30. I think it's on RTE, is it? Or TG Cahir, one or the other?
I think it's on, or I'll check there. It's on RT.
There we go. Big game. I mean, Mickey Hart going away to Kerry. It's interesting with Kerry, isn't it? Because like 2 years ago, they went very strong straight out the get-go in the league. Last year, they weren't really strong at all, mainly because of club commitments. They don't have as many club commitments this time around. And when you look at them in pre-season, like Sean O'Shea was playing. I think Paddy Clifford featured as well. Like, the only real star player who didn't feature was David Clifford. So what do you reckon? Do you think Kerry are going to go all guns blazing for this? Or do you reckon Derry might cause a bit of an upset here?
Again, it's so hard to judge because I think both teams would be kind of feeling their way into the league. Like, I agree what you said about Derry. I don't think Conor Glass or Conor McGuckin or any of those Whitey Grahams Glen players will be rushed in straight away. Emmett Bradley the same. And Kerry, I even looked at him in the McGrath Cup. I know they lost the game in the end against Cork on penalties, but I was actually intrigued by what Kerry were doing. They were actually putting Sean O'Shea at full forward in that game, and that caused Cork a lot of problems. And I think that will cause teams a lot of problems in the league campaign. As for the Cliffords, I don't think they'll play probably until round 4 in the league. And I think that's probably the smart move from Jack O'Connor, because David Clifford in particular has gone non-stop. He's gone from UL to Fossa to East Kerry, back to Fossa to Kerry. And it's just been a rollercoaster ride for him. So I think the rest would do David Clifford and Paddy Clifford good. I'm not sure that Paddy playing the McGrath Cup. I might be open to correction on that. but he certainly didn't play against Cork on last Saturday anyway. But there were some new players for Kerry, and players that we should keep an eye out for. Killian Burke in the first half, he was brought off at half-time in the Rack Cup final, but he was very, very good, very lively. He won two turnovers inside the Cork half, got a point himself, which could have easily ended up in the back of the net as well. And he played very well for Milltown Castlemaine in the Kerry Intermediate Championship. So a player to keep an eye out for there. Dylan Ganey actually played centre-forward in that game against Cork. And it'll be interesting to see where he actually plays along that forward line. And will they play Sean O'Shea full-forward? Look, I think Sean O'Shea full-forward will actually work. I know he plays centre-forward and David Clifford usually plays full. What you could do there is you could put Sean O'Shea full forward, put David Clifford in the corner, and you would cause loads of problems in that full forward line. Stephen O'Brien played a bit of that game in the McGrath Cup final as well. Darren Moynihan didn't really offer much in the McGrath Cup final, but he might offer much now this coming Saturday. Shane Ryan played as well and was as good as ever, really. There was no stopping that Chris O'Jones goal, and he did well in other facets of play. Jason Foley, I think, played in that game against Cork off the top of my head. Tyne Morley didn't play in that game at centre back, so it'll be interesting to see if he comes back into the team. Obviously, Temple Noah were knocked out of the Kerry Championship pretty early, so he probably will come back in. Tom O'Sullivan came off the bench in that game, so did Gavin White. Armin Heinrich from Austin Stacks is a lad that I think should be watched on Saturday. He might start this game. He started 7 against Cork. He was part of the under 20 team up through the years. Actually, from an Austin Stacks point of view, they might be an intermediate in Kerry, but they have a lot of young players coming through. Dylan Casey at number 4 against Cork, Armin Heinrich at number 7, and Joe O'Connor in midfield. It could be the midfield partner to Dermot O'Connor, or maybe it'll be Sean O'Brien for Beaufort. I don't know who it would be. Jack O'Connor has to decide on that. Barry Dan O'Sullivan from Dingle's another honourable candidate. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see what players Kerry throw, but I think it'll be a process for Kerry in particular to try out new players in this league campaign. I don't think they'll go full guns blazing in the league like they did last season and peak when it matters most in the summer. As for Derry, it will be interesting to see what new players are there for Derry, because what we've seen with Derry over the last few seasons in particular are it's a tight-knit squad. Players have no room for substitutes or whatever. It's relatively the same number of players for the league and the championship. Shane McGuigan, Brendan Rodgers, Chrissy McKay, Conor Glass nearly play every single game. That'll be a different dynamic now on Saturday. I don't think Conor Glass will play. Probably not Emmett Bradley either. Ben McCarron has done well in the Sigurdsson for Ulster University. He might come into the team, and apparently Mickey Hart played him a lot of the time. Brendan Rodgers is going to play in this game despite getting the red card last weekend. According to Bal McMullen, no, that red cards for himself, Paddy McBrearty and Oisin Gallen will actually take into the McKenna Cup next season. So that'll probably suit them more. But anyway, your Brendan Rodgers probably will play. McGuckin probably won't from Matty Grimsdale. So you'd have to imagine McGuigan will start at number 14 like he usually does. Niall Loughlin's kind of a player. Like, Derry have done well over the last few years, but Niall Loughlin's kind of a player that I'm kind of willing to push on a small bit more. He's done well for Ulster University. Hasn't really worked for him in a Derry shirt over the last few seasons. It'd be interesting to see once Benny Hearn's now gone, will he take his place in the corner forward position? So a lot of narratives around this game. But in regards to will I think that both sides will take it seriously, I don't think they will. I think it'll probably be a slow slog of a game with some nice scores in between. But I think you'd have to fancy Kerry one jarring at home in Austin Sack Park. It's going to be a long journey for Derry, but ultimately I think there'll be a lot of players being tried out in this game, particularly for Kerry, and it'll be interesting to see what young players Jack O'Connor will come up with this season.
Yeah, do you think that the likelihood that, like, there is a narrative that these two are strong favourites possibly for an All-Ireland this year, and you would have to agree with the fact that Kerry obviously won it 2 years ago in the final last year. Derry have obviously been thereabouts in the last couple of seasons as well. So do you think there could be a bit of shadow boxing maybe in this game? Like, neither side will really want to give away too much of a game plan?
Exactly so, and I think that'll probably be the way with a lot of players being tried out and a lot of tactics being tried out with Kerry. Like, obviously, I think Kerry need to do this. They did it in the McGrath Cup with Sean O'Shea full forward. I think they need to try it in the league as well. It's all right doing it against Cork and Tip and all them counties in the McGrath Cup, but if you do it against the likes of the Derrys, the Galways and the Mayos and see how it transpires in many ways, we'll see the full effects of it. I think it will honestly work for Kerry, having Sean O'Shea full forward. There will be a lot of shadow boxing, no doubt about it. I think there'll be a lot of players being rested. There'll be a lot of players being brought in. Apparently, Mickey Hart is even trying out a new new team with Derry, more or less. A few new players and sprinted around the starting 15, which Kieran Meehan and Rory Gallagher didn't do over the last two seasons. They stuck with mainly the same group of players. So it will be interesting to see what players Mickey Hart does come up with come Saturday against Kerry. Like, it will be interesting to see that. Or Lynch will probably start in goal. Will he have the same kind of old ball kind of thing that was there under Rory Gallagher and Kieran Meehan? Will he play the same way under Mickey Hart? Will Mickey Hart, get him back into goal? But at the same time, James Califf did it for Loud last season. He was catching kickouts. So Orrin Lynch might have more of a marauding role in many ways. So yeah, it'll be Emmett Bradley coming back. That's a huge boost. Orrin, definitely a brilliant midfielder, all right. And actually Conor Glass and Emmett Bradley were both missing for this game. Who will part with Brendan Rodgers? It'll be interesting to see that in the middle of the park. I was hearing rumours Ben McCarron might come in there in midfield. I don't know. Is he up to, I know he's a very good forward, but he's up there in the midfield stakes. I'm not entirely sure. So Eaton Doherty's another player that won't start in this game either. So yeah, it would be interesting to see what players Derry try out in particular, because I know what players Kerry are going to try out. I've seen their youngsters up close in the McGrath Cup final. I haven't necessarily seen Derry's in pre-season, so it'd be interesting from my point of view anyway to see what players Derry would try out. But I think there'd be a fair bit of shadow boxing, to be honest. I think both sides have their eyes set to July for All-Ireland season, more or less, in the All-Ireland semi-finals and the final and so on. But I think these sides probably won't be too downbeat if they lose the game. I think they'll be trying out new players, and that's probably the aim for both Mickey Hart and Jack O'Connor in this game.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, like, and just looking at it there, like, Kerry have only lost two home games in the league since 2017, and this is obviously the first time that these two have met each other in the league since 2015. That was the last time Derry played Division One football. What's your prediction then for it? I suppose it might be a tricky one to call. Like, I do think Kerry are going to go a bit stronger, to be honest with you. I do think they're going to start a bit faster, considering they will be hurting from that All-Ireland final defeat last year. And I do think as well, like, the difference between Kerry and Derry is that Kerry can rest players throughout Munster. Obviously, when they play Cork, they'll have to be on their ball a little bit there. But when they're playing, you know, Waterford or Tipperary or anything like that, like, they don't need to be at their absolute best. And even in the group stages, I think there's an element of get one or two wins and then you're okay once you get into the top two. So what's your take for this game?
Judging by the fact that Kerry home advantage, I'm going to go for Kerry, but slightly. But what I will say, it will be interesting to see what forward will step up other than David Clifford. Sean O'Shea, I think, will be the target man in this. Will it be a time for Dylan Ganey to step up? Will it be a time for Killian Burke to step up? Dara Minahan in particular. It'll be interesting to see that kind of viewpoint. Actually, a player that I didn't mention actually beforehand, Killian Spillane, he had a very good first half against Cork, and he started like a train in that game, which isn't usually what Killian Spillane does. We know this from watching Kerry over the last few seasons, that he's usually a player that comes in off the bench and performs well then. But the difference was in the McGrath Cup final last Saturday, he came from the start and performed like a house on fire. So it'll be interesting to see if he starts in this game in the same vein as he did against Cork. And maybe he could step up with David Clifford being absent. But, I think Kerry will win this game by maybe 1 or 2 points. But I think, again, like you said previously, I think it'll be a fair bit of shadow boxing in this game.
Yeah, Mikey says, Kerry don't do Januaries. I think Derry will capitalise on others not taking the league seriously. And Oren says, Conor Doherty played McKenna Cup final beside Rodgers. So there we go. Yeah, I think Kerry as well, I'd say 3-4. I do think as well that Mickey Hart will be trying different things out as well, and again, I think he's going to be a bit smarter than Gallagher in the sense of just not throwing Conor Glass, Kieran McPhail out there straight away, because I just think that would just be a bit silly, like, especially having to travel down to Kerry as well. It's not even like they're playing at home. So I'll go for a 4-point win there for Kerry. But as we saw, Mayo beat them in their own backyard. The last time I think they would have played there actually in a other than a preseason game. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Dublin versus Monaghan is actually, now that I think about it, Kerry Cork was the last time. Was that game was in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, was it? Or was it in
Páirc Uí Chaoimh, yeah.
That was in Páirc Uí
Chaoimh. Wait a minute. Páirc Uí Yeah, for the spot, me and Parky Keefe, I think it was, yeah.
Parky Keefe. There we go. Dublin Monaghan then. What are we thinking here? I mean, Dublin at home, obviously Croke Park going to be at the game. Monaghan do have a great record against Dublin in the league, though, in recent years. And actually, the last three or four meetings in the league, Dublin actually haven't won. A lot of the time, we've played them sort of towards the end of the league, sometimes towards the start of the league. But you'll think back to that game 2 years ago where Monaghan relegated Dublin. So it's kind of coincidental that that was our last Division 1 game, and our first game back in Division 1 will be against Monaghan once again. Monaghan are obviously missing players as well. No Rory Began. Carl Gallagher's gone to the AFL. What are you thinking here? I mean, both sides are probably going to be heavily rotated as well.
Yeah, I would think so. I think both sides would probably try out new players in all seriousness as well. It'd be interesting actually with Monaghan. They have good underage over the last two seasons, as epitomised. They actually got to the All Ireland minor final against Derry last season. So there is players coming out of Monaghan. That particular team contained Max McGinnity and Matthew Finn. I think they're 18 years of age now, so I don't think they play a large part for Monaghan, maybe in their 20s this season. So that's definitely one we're looking out for. In regards to Dublin, and I've seen Seamus's preview for the Dublin team on your channel, and he said about this particular game against Monaghan, it's very, very important that Dublin start off with a win, because if you start off with a loss in this game, it's not going to transpire well as the league goes on. Remember Armagh 2 seasons ago, lost the first game in Croke Park, and then after that, go down. And with Monaghan, look, it might be said to be an easy win for Dublin in many ways, but I think I might be corrected on this, Aaron. Definitely the last two attempts against them against Monaghan in the league, Dublin lost, they lost one and drew one. They lost one when they got relegated, and they drew one before COVID. Now, the one with Rory Began kicked it into a storm beyond the 65. That was just incredible. It's wonder. Monaghan should have won that game in Croke Park, if I remember correctly. I think they beat him with a Stephen O'Hanlon goal as well a few seasons ago. So Dublin's record against Monaghan isn't very good in the league. I think they need to start off well in this game. They can't let Monaghan build up a lead at halftime and then go chasing it in the second half, because they might have got away with it before COVID in that game with the storm and everything, but they won't get away with it this time. Monaghan are more street smart under Vinnie Corey than they were under Seamus McEnany. So it will be interesting to see how Dublin start this game in particular, and what will they try out new players? Will Theo Clancy go in full back? Will Luke Brannock go in the full forward line? Will Padraig Coffey-Byrne go into midfield? I think they probably will start Colin Baskill. They didn't throw the O'Byrne Cup, and they did the same last season when they started in the O'Byrne Cup, then the league, then the championship. I'd imagine Paul Mannion probably be rested for this game. Jack McCaffrey probably will as well. Will David O'Hanlon start in nets? I think that won't particularly be a bad replacement for the league. But I think what's important for Dublin in this game, build up a lead by halftime. If Monaghan are in front by, I don't know, 5-6 points at halftime, that's going to be a long mountain to climb for Dublin. And I think if they lose this game, it could set a downward spiral of the league, like it did against Armagh a couple of seasons ago. So it's very important that Dublin, in this particular game, start off well.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, obviously next weekend, then we play Mayo away. And then after that, it's Roscommon at home and Kerry at home. And, you know, if we're in a difficult position by the time we face Roscommon and Kerry, you know, I'm sure Kerry would be chomping at the bit to possibly send us down again. So I do agree, it's definitely a must-win game from a Dublin perspective. I was looking at it there, like, the last time Dublin actually beat Monaghan in the league was 2017. They beat us in 2018, they beat us in 2019, draw obviously in 2020, and then obviously 2 years ago they beat us in that playoff game, or in the final game actually it was, in Division 1. So yeah, they're unbeaten against the last four times in the league. Obviously we did beat them in the All-Ireland semi-finals last season. But again, like, how many of those players are going to feature really for Dublin? Like, I don't think you're going to see James McCarthy, you're not going to see Cluxton. Obviously, Dean Rock has retired. Mick Fitzsimons, is he going to feature? Probably not. I don't think it will be the team that played Longford, for example. Like, I think that was probably third. Like, that was, like, people were saying that was a youthful Dublin team. It was actually more of a development squad of Fatton. Like, a lot of those lads were like 23, 24, 25. A few of them, obviously, under 20s. But generally, like, it is going to be a mixed change side. But at the same time, could you see the likes of Costello, Mannion, those lads feature for Dublin?
Yeah, I think Basquiat will definitely start this game. I listened to the football pod this week with Tommy Rooney, James O'Donoghue, and Paddy Andrews, and they mentioned that Basquiat, he started off starting in the O'Byrne Cup. He gained a bit of form in the league, and that's how he became the top scorer from play. So I think Desi Farr might have the same mindset with Colin Basquiat, or maybe he'll try it with someone else. Maybe he'll try it with Luke Brannock this time around. I'd like to ask you a question, Aaron, on this, and I think this is a question that many people ask Dublin fans over the last few seasons. Kieran Archer, is he anywhere near the team, or has he just gone off the boil altogether?
No, I think he's gone off the boil altogether. I don't really know. I don't really know what happened. I don't know if he's like, only he can really speak for himself. I know there was a mad thing where he got a ban, a touchline ban, or not a touchline ban, but a ban from playing club football. And when he actually seen the incident, like, it was kind of bizarre because you were like, what's actually happened there? Yeah, I just don't think Desi seems to really particularly fancy him. Like, he wasn't featuring in the O'Byrne Cup, and I think that ship has unfortunately sailed, to be honest with you. I don't think you'll ever see him play for Dublin, to be honest with you. That's just how it is. You never know, he could line out on Saturday and then I'm proven wrong. But I think there's players that are much more in the pecking order now, as you said. Likes of Luke Swan, I think, could really feature throughout Dublin. I think Peter Duffy actually in midfield could be a real option for Dublin. He looks very good in pre-season against Wexford, so he could maybe be an option in midfield. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him starting. It's hard to know. There will be a mix of players. I'd like to see Theo Clancy come in at some point. Maybe it's probably a bit too soon for him to start this game. But yeah, like, I think the likes of Costello, you feature quite heavily last year in the league. You'll probably see him play. I think Colm Baskell will be in there. Noel Scully has played a lot of the games in the O'Byrne Cup, so he'll probably start as well. Maybe Kieran Kilkenny will come back in. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. But ultimately, what's your prediction then? Are Monaghan going to hold Dublin for what would be the fifth time in a row without fifth game in a row without losing to Dublin in the league?
I think it might be a bit of a stretch. I think Dublin will win this game, and really because I think Dublin needs to start off this league with a win. Simple as. If they'd start off with a loss, it might reverberate for the rest of the league. But just before we leave this game, I was looking at the team against Longford in the O'Byrne Cup. Two players in particular that I noticed in the Sigurdsson and the game against Longford. Killian McGuinness, he scored, I think, 3 points against Longford by the looks of this. Could be an option midfield. He did well for TU Dublin over the last few weeks. So could be an option there that he could partner Brian Fenton in the next few weeks. And Sean Farker, he starts centre back in this game. He starts at number 12 for UCD, as far as I know anyway. So he could be an option as well for Dublin. Brian O'Leary's another player that's worth keeping an eye on. Sean Lowry, Colin Baskill did start in the game as well. So yeah, there are a lot of options for Dublin. And I think the key for Dublin to find youthful talent is to look at the Sigurdsson Cup, look at the players like Katie McGuinness and Sean Farker, see how they're doing, and maybe bring in those players as well. Because I think Jerome Quinn from the higher education page, he actually mentioned that there isn't much Dublin players in Dublin colleges, which is kind of a worry. You've seen with the DCU team, there's two wee lads in Matthew Costello and Shane Walsh. There's Conor Corbett from Cork. There didn't seem to be much Dublin players, but it looks at McGuinness and Farker, there's two that maybe could be tried out in the league campaign.
Yeah, no, look, there is a bulk of players there maybe that could be chosen, in fairness. Our good friend on Clitha says Archer is still playing away for St. Moore's, but for some reason not getting called in. Jack says hard to call. Dublin Monaghan, maybe Dublin to edge it. I'm going to go for a draw, just on the sense that Dublin, I think, have started the league very slow in the last couple of seasons. And I actually think what's going to happen is Monaghan are going to start much quicker. They're going to build up a lead. I think Dublin will turn it on towards the end of the game and will come very close to winning it, and it will finish out as a draw. And I do think Monaghan, although they're missing a few players, they have given us a great game in the league over the last couple of years. And to be fair, I think they'll be eyeing this game up just like Armagh did a couple of years ago. And Dublin have been notorious slow starters in the league under Desi Farrell. So it's definitely going to be interesting. Galway versus Mayo is the next one. On Clitha was also saying here, it will be interesting to see David O'Hanlon's mindset in the league, given he was dropped out of nowhere. Yeah, no, that is an interesting point in fairness. But yeah, getting back to Galway Mayo, what are we thinking here? I mean, this is going to be an interesting one. Obviously, rivalry, two big teams that know each other. They play each other almost every year in the Connacht Championship. Obviously not last year, thanks to Roscommon. But what are we thinking here?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see again. And I repeat myself with Division 1 to see what new players pop up in these two teams. And I think for Mayo, it's about maybe doing well to stay up in the league and staying consolidating it. Because you looked at last season, they got into a league final and then the next week they lose to Roscommon. And that kind of reverberated in the summer championship after that. But for Galway in particular, I think they need a national trophy on the board. And I've seen from all our sport of stats that popped up there, only three teams have won the league in the last few seasons, and that's Dublin, Kerry and Mayo. Galway aren't one of those, despite reaching two league finals in 18 and 23. So I think Galway, what Pádraig Joyce needs, and I think, honestly, a lot of people have gone on about this, I think it's a make-or-break season for this Galway team. I think there's a lot of players there, the likes of Sean Kelly, Damien Comer, Shane Walsh, Robbie Finnerty. There are some quality players in the Galway team. And I think they need to, you know, build up confidence and contend for an All-Ireland this year. And I think a league title would be the right step towards that. I think Galway would be hungry for a league title. Not many teams would be hungry for it. But I think Galway will be definitely one to go all in for it, because they need a national trophy to just boost the confidence a small bit. They also need other players to step up too. Like Killian O'Corrine is a good player that I've seen in the Sigurdsson Cup for University of Galway. He was part of the FBD Cup team against Roscommon as well. Could be an interesting player to see rise up. Tom O'Culhane as well has kind of dry up, it's fair to say, over the last few seasons, his form. It'll be interesting to see what Pádraig Joyce does with him in the next few weeks or so. Will Peter Cook play? Mystery to be shown on Sunday against Mayo. Yeah, there's a very interesting dynamics, definitely. Will Conor Flaherty start in goal? We all know Conor Gleeson and Bernard Powers struggled in that role over the last few seasons. Will Conor Flaherty know that he's the UL goalkeeper in the Sigurdsson Cup? Will he step up when counted for Galway? Remains to be seen. As for Mayo, like, it's hard to see what players Mayo actually bring in, because there was a lot of new players that were brought in last season and excelled. The likes of Donegal McHugh, particularly in the league, Enda Hessian in the league. Matthew Ryan really announced himself as one of the main players in midfield over the last few seasons. And we talked previously in the chat about Kerry and the role for Sean O'Shea. And this is an older example, but Aidan O'Shea, what role is he going to play this year? Is he going to be corner forward like he did last season? Is he going to be the target man in full forward? Is he going to play midfield? I would imagine, I think the best place for Aidan O'Shea in this modern age of Gaelic football, I think the best place for him is full forward. Just to lump the ball into him and play to his strengths. Killian O'Connor as well, I've seen his interviews on off the ball. Will be interesting to see if he has any role to play in the Mayo team. Ryan O'Donoghue's obviously playing Sigurdsson Cup for University of Galway as well, so gaining a bit of fitness there. Tom O'Culhane doing the same. So if them two players particularly playing with each other in that forward line for University of Galway and for Mayo, I think they could strike up a very good partnership between the two of them. And Tommy Conroy in particular, you know, I know he scored that goal against Cork at the Gaelic grounds, but other than that, I don't think he offered too much to Mayo last season. No, he's kind of recovered from all those injuries. This is a big platform for him in particular. It'd be an interesting one to George. I'm just lucky who's at home. It's Galway at home. So I would have to say that Galway will go on and win the game because of home advantage and the fact they need a national trophy on the board. But Mayo, I think they'll do enough to stay up. I think they'll have a decent enough league campaign. But yeah, I'd be interested to see how both teams play in the league campaign this season, particularly Galway, because Pádraig Joyce, will this be his last season? If it is, he'd want to go out now.
Yeah, like I think for Galway, the age profile of their team is still relatively young. Like, aside from maybe Paul Conroy, Damien Comer, maybe you could argue Shane Walsh as well. But they have had a bulk of underage players who've made the breakthrough in the last couple of years, from Matthew Tierney, Jack Lynn. We saw, you know, Paul and Sean Kelly obviously come in as well as an example. So yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting. Like, I think both sides maybe might be. Again, I think this is a very shadow boxing style game, because these two could very well play each other again in Connacht. And they have an awful habit of drawing each other outside of Connacht as well. Obviously, they played each other in the preliminary round game last year before the quarterfinals. It's interesting, like, because with Mayo, it's been weird, because they've obviously gone very strong in the league in the last couple of years. It's come back to bite them. We saw them, like, obviously Killian O'Connor played in that game versus London, but apart from that, it was, you know, mostly development players and under 20 players and everything else. So like Mayo, it's hard to know with them. Like I do think their main focus like has to now shift towards Connacht and the Championship, because they've gone strong in the league in the last two seasons, and by the time they've got to the quarterfinals, they've looked absolutely dead on their feet. I don't think you ever go out in a game purposely trying to lose or anything like that. I don't think that ever happens. But I think Mayo's focus here will just be two or three wins, and then they'll probably start rotating and resting their team towards the end of the league. Surely, like.
Yeah, I think they'll go that way, definitely. Like, it'll be... Will they bring in new talent, new players like Frank Irwin, for example? Will they bring him in for the league campaign? It will be interesting to see. But I think Kevin McStay might have learned from last season not to go too strong in the league as they did. I know they did very well in last season. And they looked like genuine all-Ireland contenders in that league campaign last year. And they fooled a lot of us, including me and you. But like in fairness, I think Mayo, they need to concentrate on the all-Ireland. When he looked at the last season... And even in the All-Ireland in particular, not just the league, in the All-Ireland, they peaked very, very early. The first game, it's a long time ago, it seems, they beat Kerry in Killarney. I was at that game, and I thought, these are All-Ireland contenders here, Mayo. They look very good. They look sharp. They look fitter than Kerry. They look very, very good. Then in the next few weeks, they scrape over the line against Louth, really. They were very, very lucky to get out of McHale Park with a win there. And against Cork, the warning signs definitely came to heed in that game. They lost it. And they lost it conceding, I think, 1-6 without reply at the end. And that was just poor from Mayo. I know it was good from a Cork point of view, but very, very poor from a Mayo defensive point of view. They beat Galway in that game, but that was always going to be a rivalry. Both sides were going to be up for in that game. But then against Dublin, the first half, if the funny thing is in that Dublin quarterfinal, in the first half, Mayo weren't particularly that bad. And I was at that game. And you were as well. I don't think Mayo were that bad in that game. Then in the second half, Colin Baskill gets that second goal and the confidence kind of drained out of them. And it was almost like, we've lost this. And I think Kevin McStay needs to have a different mindset in the Mayo team, not to, you know, become too displacent when it comes to those sort of stages in games. And I think the league, in that way too, I think the league could be a good learning curve for Mayo. How they'll come up against Dublin, how they'll come up against Kerry, in pressure situations, more or less. I think it'd be interesting to see how it transpires there. But for Mayo in particular, I think they might take the league a bit lightly. I think they'll stay up. I think they'll stay up comfortably. I think they're a better team than the likes of Roscommon, Tyrone, all them. But I think they might have learned from their lessons last year not to go as strong as they did early on in the season and not to as well drain energy by the time it gets to crunch time in June, July, etc.
Yeah, we'll get on to both of our predictions a little bit later, but I do think Mayo are getting relegated. Like I've predicted that already. Like I just think they're going to rotate quite heavily throughout the league, and yeah, I just think the focus isn't going to be as much as previous years. Mikey says home advantage counts for nothing in Connacht. Mayo, Roscommon, and Galway have better records against each other away from home. I think Galway might just sneak it towards the end. Yeah, it is a fair point. Like Roscommon always tend to be Mayo in their own backyard. Mayo always tend to be Galway in their own backyard. Mayo have a great record against Roscommon away as well. It's a little bit strange, to be honest, like a bit of a mad one, unusual sort of statistic in Connacht. But yeah, it is the case. So we're both back in Galway to just about edge it.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see what new players step up for Galway, in particular Tom O'Callaghan, Killian O'Corrine. If they step up for Galway, I think they could have a very good year under a power choice.
Next up then, Tyrone versus Roscommon. Tyrone, a lot of people predict them to have a poor season in the league. They've obviously lost a lot of players. Ronan McNamee isn't going to be there. Obviously, a whole host of players opted out from, you know, previous years. You don't have Noel Sludden as well. Question marks over whether Cathal McShane is going to feature. So there are a lot of unknowns with Tyrone. And one thing we know about Roscommon is that they were very hard to beat in the league last year. And I do think Davy Burke will place emphasis on the league, especially at the start of the year, to pick up a couple of results in order to keep them up. What do you think for this one?
I think Tyrone, this is the best chance that they have of any of winning a game. I think, like, I honestly think, and I predicted, no spoilers now, but I predicted these two sides to get relegated. And the reason is, for Tyrone in particular first, a lot of players leaving over the last few seasons is one reason. Lee Brennan, Mark Bradley, I don't know, is Rory Brennan going to be on the panel? I'm not entirely sure. Paul Donaghy, Conor McKenna's gone to the AFL. Even in the younger age, Owen McAlum, who was very good for Oma CBS over the last few seasons, and the Toronto Miners, he looked like a man mountain. He's apparently going down to Australia as well. And that's a worry. And I think the management team in Brian Drew and Fergal Logan, I don't think they'd still confidence in the Toronto team either. I really don't. Especially in that quarterfinal against Kerry last year. That was honestly one of the worst Toronto performances I've ever seen in Croke Park. It was just dreadful. From maybe the start of the second half, even at half time, I was thinking Toronto are going to go in with a fight against Kerry. There's a bit of shoving, a bit of argy-bargy. You're thinking there's going to be fighting this Toronto team in the second half. And they showed the opposite. I don't know what went on in the dressing room at halftime. Did the Toronto players just down tools? Even when Darren McCurry, I think, hit Paddy Clifford and should have got a red card on any other day, if that was a tighter game, it would have been a red card. It kind of epitomised to me these Toronto players are losing it. And I think the project under Fergal Logan and Brian Drew are slowly dying a small bit. I do think they'll win this game specifically because, not because I don't, I think Roscommon are in some ways a better team than Toronto, but I think Roscommon are losing the Bridget players over the weekend. I doubt they bring in Ben O'Carroll this weekend. I doubt they bring in the likes of Brian Stack, Ronan Stack, Eddie Nolan, Shane Cunanan. I highly doubt it that they'd bring in those players this weekend. And the fact Kieran Murtagh has obviously opted out as well is a huge loss. Obviously, he's given so much to Roscommon football. I was hearing from Sinead Farrell on Seamus's podcast, check that out if you haven't already, that he got married, I think, last year or this year, and he just wants a break. So, look, best of luck to Kieran Murtagh there. There is still some players like Dermot Murtagh, Darragh Craig to step up into Smith, got his all-star last year, Dodie Smith. But I just feel like, I think, honestly, in terms of squads, I think Roscommon and Monaghan have the two worst squads. And I think Monaghan have more of an emphasis to stay up in Division 1. And that's the reason why I think that Roscommon will end up getting relegated. And in this game, I think Tyrone might have the edge because of the loss of the Bridges lads. It remains to be seen. When will Ben O'Carroll come back? Will he come back in match day 3? Will he come back even next week? I'm not sure. But he won't be back this weekend. I doubt it anyway. So I fancy Tyrone at home. And having more in the panel than Roscommon do with the Bridges players gone, I fancy Tyrone to edge us in this one. And I will say this, Aaron, I think this is a relegation 4-pointer. I know it's match day 1, but I think this is honestly a relegation dogfight in this game.
Yeah, I do think so as well. Like, I do think I have backed Roscommon to stay up, but I do think it's going to be very close. And like, I think you do make some good points, all right, with a few of the Roscommon players missing. And obviously with Tyrone, like, we know Dara Canavan, Rory Canavan are probably going to start. Obviously they didn't have any huge club commitments. I don't think any of them are featuring in the Sigerson either, are they?
Dara and Rory are both in the Ulster University, so they are in Sigerton, yeah.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, do you know, I think Roscommon, I'll go for Roscommon, I think, to just about edge. I still think they have a lot of good players. Obviously, don't have Kieran Murtagh, but still have German Murtagh, and the Smith, we know, will be there. And I think Davey Burke puts a lot of emphasis on these early games in the league. We saw how well Roscommon started in the league last year, winning the opening 3 games, and then their job was very much done. I think, I'm not saying they're going to win their opening 3 games, but I do fancy them to win this one in fairness. Go through both of our predictions for the league. So these are my predictions for Division 1. I think Kerry and Derry will both reach the final, and I think Kerry will come out as champions. Galway in 3rd, Dublin in 4th, Monaghan 5th, Roscommon 6th, Mayo 7th, and Tyrone 8th. And then these are Matthew's predictions there. So he's gone for Roscommon and Tyrone to get relegated. Roscommon finishing bottom, Monaghan 6th, Dublin 5th, Kerry 4th, Mayo 3rd, Derry 2nd, and Galway 1st. Interesting enough, who do you think will win the league between them two, Galway, Derry?
I think Galway will win the league in the end, but it's only slightly in Croke Park, in my opinion.
And you think, I suppose, the differing opinion between ourselves is I think Mayo are getting relegated and you think they're going to finish 3rd. Like, you reckon they're going to go fairly strong in the league again?
I think they relatively win in the first few weeks, but I think once it gets to maybe match day 5, match day 6, I think they'll start to rest players then. I think Mayo, the main aim for Kevin McStay, I think, is to stay up in Division 1. Now, I said that detail in my video as well, that I think the main aim for most of these teams in Division 1 is to stay up. And I think Mayo will have the same mindset. I think the only team I think out of the eight they really, really need a national trophy to get on the board, I think two in particular are Derry and Galway. And that's the reason I have them in the Division One final. I think they'll take the league more seriously than many others will. I think Kerry and Dublin will rest a few players in the league. And yeah, I honestly think Monaghan, Roscommon and Tyrone, I think they're probably the three weakest teams in Division One. So that's why probably I have them in the bottom three. And I have Monaghan still because Monaghan do this every season. I've said over the last two seasons, Monaghan are going down. They're getting relegated in year one. Okay, they'll go down the next season under Vic Corey. They always find a way to stay up. And I don't want to make the same mistake again. I'm sure you're thinking the same. I think Seamus is probably thinking the same as well, that we just don't want to predict Monaghan to go down because we're going to end up with eggs on our faces. They always find a way to stay up. And that's the key with Vinnie Corey said.
Yeah, just watch them now get relegated. Now that we're all predicting them to stay up, they'll probably go and get relegated. Keane says Roscommon have too much for Tyrone, regardless of the St. Bridget's contingent taking part or not. There we go. Yeah, I suppose so. There's our predictions for Division One. We'll move on to Division Two. Donegal versus Cork first up. Are you heading to this game?
No. Oh Jesus, no, Aaron. I'll be all bad here. Oh my God!
How long is that journey? What, four or five hours on a car? We don't do much traveling here in Dublin, leaving the county. So you know.
I'd say it'd be even more. I'd say it'd have to be an overnight. And the fact it's not a bank holiday tomorrow, it's not good. But what I will say, two of Cork's away games. I know they have four away games this term, but two of their away games fall on the Louth game is Bridget's bank holiday weekend, and the Mead game is the Paddy's bank holiday weekend. So I'll go to them two games, but I'll watch this Donegal game at TG Carr. But the only game I won't go to or watch is the Fermanagh game in Aderney. So yeah, six out of seven Cork games, we're all ready for another league campaign, Aaron.
There we go. And what do you reckon? Any chance you upset the Jim McGuinness party that's going to be happening in Ballybuffet?
I think the players are capable of a good performance. I think last 2 years ago, I think, you know, in Bake, we played against Derry, and that was just shambolic, really, from the team. I think it was 113-7 points. We got hammered. I don't think this will be a hammering. I do think Donegal will win the game. I think Donegal looked very good. Even in pre-season, they looked absolutely unreal. Oisin Gallan, Paddy McBrearty, Ryan McHugh's come back in. Patrick Morgan, apparently, has come back into the Donegal team as well. Very interesting to see him. Caelan McGonagall in the midfield as well as another good player, Caelan McColgan. It'll be interesting actually with Niall O'Donnell, Kieran Thompson and Michael Langan. They have all the potential in the world. Will they reach that potential under Jim McGuinness? It'd be very interesting to see on Sunday. As for Cork, look, it's a long journey. I don't think much of the Cork fan base, I know we've made progress, but I don't think any of the Cork fan base is expecting us to win this game, simply because number one, the journey up to Ballybuffet near the mountains for God's sake, and number two, I just think Donegal are at a higher level than us at the moment. And with Jim McGuinness coming in, he's just a tactical genius in the iron. And I think it'd be an amazing result if we went up and won the game. It'd be just unreal. I do think the players are capable of doing it, but I think Donegal are further along in the development of Jim McGuinness as manager as well. And I think Donegal will go on and win this game. But Cork, I think the next four games after the Donegal game will be key for us against Louth, Fermanagh, Cavan, Kildare. We have to win all the four games. If we don't, we could just wave goodbye to promotion, in my opinion. But for this game, I think Donegal will have enough. And what will be interesting to see is what sort of Jim McGuinness team turns up on Sunday. Will it be a big team? And a bit of a trivia for you as well. In Jim McGuinness's first 10 years Donegal boss in 2011, the first year of it, they reached the Division 2 final in Croke Park and won it. Will history repeat itself? I certainly think it will.
Interesting. All right, yeah. And especially when you look at Donegal through pre-season, I mean, they've been going very strong. Like, Oisin Gallan's been playing, Patrick McBurthy's been playing, Micheál Langan's been playing. Like, they've been going almost as strong as they can throughout pre-season, and they've put up some amount of wins as well. Like, they absolutely battered Armagh. They absolutely battered Monaghan as well. I know, obviously, a bit of controversy as well, like playing, you know, some under 18 players and everything else, and Jim McGuinness nearly getting a ban, and then it gets revoked and everything else. So I suppose it would be Jim McGuinness to be back in Gaelic football just a couple of weeks, and he's already upsetting people But like I do think Donegal are gonna go very strong, and like you don't go as strong as that in pre-season to then not go that strong at the start of the league. It just makes zero sense. So yeah, like I do actually fancy Cork to get promoted alongside Donegal, to be honest with you. But I do think Donegal are gonna put in a big performance here, and I do think they'll beat Cork relatively comfortably. I think 5 or 6 points.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think someone put up on Twitter it'd be 115 to 111, and I think that would be kind of the score that I'd go around as well. I think it'll be a comfortable enough win for Donegal. I think Cork won't disgrace themselves up in Ballybuffet, but I think Donegal will have enough. But I don't think Cork will go. It's not that. I think Cork are going along nicely, but I think our man Donegal and me in particular, I think they're at a better stage than Cork at the moment, and I just feel that Donegal and Armagh, they'd want to go back up to Division 1 as soon as possible. I know a commenter earlier said that it was obvious last year that Derry and Dublin were the obvious candidates for the top two, but I think Donegal and Armagh, you could say as well. I would have said even before, even when the 2023 season ended, I would have said Armagh would have been top of Division 2, but, and I was saying maybe Cork could squeak second, but then the announcement came, Jim McGuinness is Donegal manager, and I'm like, you know, there we go. That's promotion gone out of the window. So, yeah, I think Donegal and Armagh will have enough for promotion. I think promotion should be the aim, but I think next year is probably the year that Cork do go up eventually.
You play Armagh, though, don't you? Like, in is it the last game at Parky Queef?
Yeah, at home, yeah. But, yeah, I just think Armagh are better players than us. And I think Green O'Neill, O'Sheen O'Neill in particular, I think, like Armagh, even looking at them in Division 1 over the last few seasons, they beat Dublin and Croke Park. So an away game doesn't affect Armagh as much. So I just feel that Armagh will have enough to beat us in Parky Heave on that final day.
There we go. Hurling 1234 says, Matthew, how many New Haven players will feature? Castlehaven players could see, and D Cahalan switch codes, be big additions. What do you think?
I hope so. I really hope so, but I don't think they will. Conor Cahalan in particular was excellent in that club championship. Jamie Cahalan, I've been screaming out for years on your channel, Aaron, to switch codes, but no, he's not going to do it. I'd say he's, what, 31, 32? No, I don't think he will. But for New Haven players, Colin McGuire actually played in the McGrath Cup game last week, very early to put him in. It's almost like a Rory Gallagher, Conor Glass situation with Derry a week after Castlehaven go out. Okay, Colin McGuire, you're back in the Cork team. I'm sure he was delighted to be in the Cork team, no doubt about it. It was just a bit early for John Cleary to put him back in, but he's going to be a serious player, I think, this year. Brian Hurley, I think there's a bit of an injury again with him. Now, I think it'll be another few weeks before he features. Michael Hurley, be interesting to see, will he feature at all? Rory McGuire, obviously, I think he played in the McGrath Cup last weekend as well for a brief period, so he will have a very good year at fullback, I'd imagine, as well. And he's needed in that fullback line. He was missing in the first half in fullback line against Kerry, and there was a lot of problems. Comes in the second half, and it's a completely different fullback line. So I think Rory McGuire will be massive for Cork this season. A lot of the Haven players will. A lot of the Barras players, like Ian McGuire and Stephen Sherlock, will as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of good Cork players there as well. So, yeah, one thing about Cork, actually, I noticed in the McGrath Cup, we talk about the modern-day goalkeepers, the likes of Niall Morgans, Rory Biggins, Sean Pattins, etc. Cork have their own. I know Micheál Martin has been there over the last few seasons. He wasn't in the goal for the McGrath Cup. A guy called Patrick Doyle from Knocknagree. He usually comes out a lot. He usually receives the ball. He goes into attacking positions, almost like a 15 player. He goes out the pitch. He's a good shot stopper as well. So it'd be interesting to see, will John Cleary, once Micheál Martin goes back to full fitness, will he choose Micheál Martin, the safe option, or will he go with the modern day goalkeeper Patrick Doyle? It'd be very interesting to see that dynamic too.
Yeah, so ultimately we're both back in Donegal fairly comfortably.
Yeah, I'd say Donegal by about 4 or 5 points.
Armagh versus Louth, maybe a similar scenario here. I mean, can Ger Brennan's Louth cause an upset? Maybe if Mickey Hart was still in charge, we think maybe Louth might be able to do something. But even at that, you might be stretching. Like, Armagh fairly comfortably, do you think?
Yeah, I'd say Armagh should win this really, really comfortably, in my opinion. Like, O'Sheen O'Neill, I was hearing from Paddy Andrews on the football pod, he could go into midfield. If he goes in midfield, he's a big lad. Like, that's a serious player that Armagh have there. What would be interesting actually for Armagh, who would they replace Ethan Rafferty with? He's been injured over the last few weeks. It's going to be a long time before he recuperates and becomes fully fit. I've seen some Armagh fans saying Shane McGill or Blaine Hughes. Blaine Hughes, in particular, 2 years ago, was one of the best goalkeepers in Ireland, in my opinion. And then Ethan Rafferty comes in and he's slowly forgotten about. Will he come back into the team slowly but surely? Aaron McKay had a good pre-season, I'm hearing. Rian O'Neill is fully fit, ready to go more than ever. Three players that had very good club championships in intermediate level were Aidan Nugent, Ross McQuillan and Jason Duffy. Jason Duffy in particular showed a lot of leadership for St. Patrick's. Cody Hanna, would he play at wing forward in that Armagh team? He played midfield for St. Pat's in the All-Ireland final against Kilimatra. Would he play around that middle third of the pitch? Remains to be seen, but I think Armagh should win this pretty comfortably. As for Louth, it'll be a tough enough season for them. Joe Brennan coming in, James Califf retiring as well. I know Mickey Hart's the main story, but James Califf was kind of an out ball for Louth. He'll be a major loss for Louth. And whereas Armagh have replacements for Ethan Rafferty, for example, I don't think Louth do for James Califf. And I'm just being honest, though, I don't think Louth have resources. So I think it'll probably be a changing season for fans this year round. The main aim for Louth is just to stay up in Division 2. And yeah, I think Samuel Roy will score the bulk of their scores once again for Louth. He did so even without Mickey Hart managing them in that 2020 game against Cork. So yeah, I think Armagh should win this game comfortably, but Mulroy to get about 75% of Louth scores this Saturday.
Yeah, what are you thinking then, Armagh by 4 or 5, or yeah, what's your margin?
Think maybe 8 or 9.
Wow, really?
I think Armagh will want to step their game up, stamp their authority in the league. And I think Armagh should win this game pretty comfortably on Saturday evening.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be as comfortably as that, in my opinion, but I can't see Armagh winning it, in fairness. And I do think for Jerry Brennan and Loud, it is interesting, because could you imagine Jerry Brennan setting Loud up the same way Mickey Hart did? Probably not, but at the same time, I think he'd be mad to completely rip it up and try and, you know, play on the front football, expansive football, all that crack. I don't think you can see that either, but ultimately, yeah, I think Armagh will come through probably by 4 or 5 points, in my opinion. Mead versus Fermanagh is the one up next. I know both of us have both predicted Fermanagh to get relegated, but we do have conflicting opinions when it comes to Mead. You think they'll finish third, and I think they'll get relegated, which has probably been maybe one of my more controversial opinions from my predictions video. But you have high hopes for Mead this season, and I don't.
Yeah, and I said it on the car preview show as well, that I do have high hopes for Mead. I just feel, no disrespect to the prediction arm, but when you have players like Jack Flynn, Jack O'Connor, Shane Walsh, Matthew Costello, Jordan Morris, Harry Hogan in nets, Donald Keoghan, Connor Gray, Cian McBride coming back for the AFL, I don't think Mead are in a position to go down. I think they're way too good to go down. I think they're a very, very good team. And Colin O'Rourke there is a very smart manager. I think he'll get the best out of these Mead players. And Tata Cup win last year will bring them on fourfold. And what I said, I did predict Mead to go down last year. And that probably had egg on my face after the game against Cork and Parky Heath. The less said about that, the better. But why I said Mead would go down is because their players last year were relatively unknown. But this season, particularly in the Tartan Cup, they brought in a lot of young blood. And them players, they seem to be settled. They seem to be a settled team. Colin O'Rourke seems to be a very good manager as well. And let's not forget, Shane Walsh, particularly in the first two games of Division 2 last season, was a standout player for Mead. He didn't get injured in Match Day 2 or Match Day 3 in the Allianz League and didn't play for the rest of the season. What would be interesting to see if he can carry on that form pre-injury into this league campaign. If he can, I think that's a major asset for me to have, with him, Matthew Costello, Jordan Morris, Jack Flynn, all buzzing around the place, with Connor Green, potentially Cian McBride midfield. I think that's a massive thing for Mead. to go on and do well in Division 2. I think there's a lot of good things happening in Meath. They just got on with it last year. They won the Tartan Cup. I think they'll have a very good season in this season. I think they will beat Fermanagh this weekend. I think they'll beat them by about 4 or 5 points. I think Fermanagh will make it tough for them. Kieran Donnelly is a good manager and will play a defensive style of football. But the losses for Fermanagh are colossal. Sean Quigley, the two Joneses are missing as well, of Cronin and Ryan. And as well as that, in the Tartan Cup, they did very, very poor last season. They lost to Laois and they lost to Antrim last season. And normally those are two sides that should that Fermanagh should beat. Antrim are the lower end of Division 3 and Laois are in Division 4 for a reason. So I'd feel that Fermanagh will probably be out of their depth a small bit in Division 2. I think a loss rests for Fermanagh's chances on Olsen Kellen, how he'll perform in the league. He did very well in Division 3 last time out. Be interested to see how he transfers that form from Division 3 into Division 2. But ultimately, I think they'll lose this game this weekend by about 3, 4, 5 points. And I think they will ultimately go down in to Division 3.
Yeah, like I do agree. Like, Meath do have a bulk of younger players coming through. I think the two main reasons why I think they'll go down is, firstly, I'm not entirely convinced by Colm O'Rourke in terms of tactics and everything else. I know you could say maybe there definitely was improvement in the Tailteann Cup, but again, the only team of any significance they had to beat was Down. You know, they were beating the likes of Antrim, Waterford, Tipperary, sort of in the build up. I do think as well the fact that they already have an All-Ireland series place wrapped up means I don't think there's going to be as much emphasis, you know, on focused on the league. I think they're going to look toward, and the fact that they could be playing Dublin in their own backyard in the Leinster Championship in the quarterfinals as well. And I don't know, I just have a slight feeling they may be slightly overrated. I do think they do have good young players. Like, I do highly rate Jack Flynn, Jordan Morris, Matthew Costello, as you said before, a few players obviously playing Sigerson. I just think they're going to start a little bit slow, and I do actually fancy Fermanagh to nick a draw maybe in this game and frustrate the living daylights of Meath. But at the same time, look, I've got multiple predictions wrong on this channel before, and certainly if I had to predict a prediction to go wrong, I'd probably predict this one. But there we go. Kildare versus Cavan. Kildare, I suppose you never know what you're going to get at the best times. Kind of similar to Meath in some ways. Like, they have a bulk of younger players. They've got a lot of good players there, in my opinion. Not entirely convinced by Glenn Ryan. And that's not just because of what he said about Dublin and Croke Park. I am saying that as a whole. When we look at how Kildare performed in Division 2 last year. Cavan, Raymond Galligan. Could you see maybe Cavan nicking something here? Obviously, the game being played in Carlow as well. So it's not actually, you know, it's not actually a home game for Kildare, per se.
It will be interesting to see how Cavan turn up in this game. I do think there's a lot of potential in Cavan, and I don't think they'll don't lose whatsoever. It'd be interesting, actually. I'm on a podcast with John McMahon tonight, a staunch Cavan fan, so I'm interested to see his insights on the Cavan team at the moment. Galligan, I think he's a very, very good leader, and to see how he leads this team should be very intriguing. What worries me about Cavan in particular, though, is the loss of Gareth McKiernan at centre-forward. It's a huge loss for Cavan. Thomas Galligan hasn't played over the last two seasons. I know Pádraig Faulkner is still there at full-back, but Conor Moyne is not going to play a huge part of the league either. That's another loss. Those are huge players at loss for Cavan, and that's going to be big for them in the league campaign. And Kildare, they do have potential. They do have very good young players. Callum Bolton, will he play much part in the league? I'm hearing from Kildare fans or any other fan base around Leinster that a lot of those players are actually gone out travelling, a lot of them under-20s. They won the under-20 championship and then they're travelling, which, if those rumours are true, that's a worrying sign, because it just shows that those younger players aren't committed to the Kildare cause, and that's very, very bad to see from a Kildare point of view. Kevin Feedy would be interesting. Like, in midfield, he did very well last season for Kildare around the forward line, catching a lot of marks in the All-Ireland series in particular. Didn't play much in the league. He will play in the full season this time out. Jimmy Hyland's a very good player. Derek Kieran scored 2-4 from play in the Sigerson Cup during the week against UCC and had a very good performance for Mayo University. And we all know what Derek Kieran is capable of. Kevin O'Callaghan in midfield. There's no question of Kildare's talent. They have very good players. The question is Glenn Ryan. And the question is probably their mentality, Kildare. Last season in particular, and this is why I'd probably be more confident about Meath more than Kildare this term. I think Meath got on with it. They didn't complain last year. They got on with the job. They recognised the situation they were in, and they got on with the job and won the Tatton Cup. As for Kildare, I think there was a lot of complaining last year with referees. Even after the Monaghan game, there was a bit of complaints with the referees. And the reality is for Kildare, against Dublin and against Monaghan, they threw those games away. I know Dublin, you could say they have the advantage of playing Croke Park, but in the last few minutes, Kildare had Dublin on their coattails. They had them by the throat, and they just let go of it. I don't know what happened in the last 10 minutes, but they just froze. And I don't know what went on in the last few minutes, but the reality was that Kildare just didn't show enough bottle in the last few minutes to get over that line against Dublin. And then they went to complaining in the post-match interview instead. And I don't think that's very good for Kildare football moving forward. So, yeah, it's for that particular reason, I don't think Kildare would have a good league campaign. I do think they'll win this game at the weekend against Cavan, but I don't think they'll have a good league campaign as many are predicting.
I actually fancy Cavan to win this game, to be honest with you. Like, still think they've got more than enough to do the damage in the likes of Paddy Lynch. And I think Cavan, although Kildare have been playing in division, you know, at a higher level in the league for a couple of years, Cavan have been used to competing with some top sides in Ulster. And it wasn't too long ago they were in and around Division 2, Division 1 themselves. I actually do think Meath could actually end up having a better season than Kildare. I actually don't necessarily disagree with that. I do just think that Kildare will have a slightly better league campaign. And I do think Meath might take their eye off the ball in the league. But at the same time, going into the Championship, especially with... I know Meath are likely to play, as long as they beat Longford, they could be playing Dublin at home in the Championship. So maybe they could go out, but then obviously they'll go into the All-Ireland series. But at the same time, Kildare on that other side of the draw, I could see them getting caught by like a Westmead or someone of that nature potentially along the way on that other side of the draw. So it is going to be interesting, all right, with Kildare in fairness. But yeah, you're going for a Kildare victory. I'll go for Cavan to nick it by 1 or 2 points. Looking at my Division 2 predictions then, I have an L points breakdown here as well. So we've got Donegal and Cork both in first and second, Armagh in third, Cavan and Kildare both in fourth and fifth, Loud in sixth, Meath in seventh, Fermanagh in eighth. So, like, when you look at it there, Meath, to be fair, probably only, what, 2 or 3 points off third. So, it probably is. I do think Division 2 is going to be very close from about Meath up until Armagh. But there we go. And this is Matthew's predictions then. So, he's gone Donegal and Armagh to both get promoted, Meath in third, Cork fourth, Kildare 5th, Loud 6th, Cavan 7th, Fermanagh 8th. Interesting you picked Cavan to go down. You think Cavan will get relegated?
I just think the loss of Gareth McKiernan is huge for him. He's like the beating heart of that Cavan team. And I think as well, and this is fixtures, we talk about fixtures and points and all that, and I brought it down to one fixture. It's between Loud and Cavan, 6th against 7th. That's a huge fixture. And I looked at the home advantage that's on an RD. And I think Loud will have enough just to get over the line by a point or two in that game. And I think that should be enough to keep Loud in Division 2 for another campaign. So that's the reason I predict Cavan to go down. But it is a boring prediction when you look at it. The two sides that came up for Division 3 go back down. The two sides that came down for Division 1 to go back up. But look, Aaron, I'm not taking any chances. I'm not going to a chance getting this me treatment last year. So, yeah, I'm playing it safe this time around.
Yeah. Maybe it's my turn to get the Meath treatment. We'll see what happens. But Division 3, Offaly versus Westmeath first up. Big game, obviously, both rivals, Midlands Derby and all the rest. Two sides you'd imagine will be focusing on promotion. Surely this is the year where Westmeath get promoted. I mean, last two seasons, they've been favourites. We've saw them, obviously, win the Tailteann Cup. We've saw them be very competitive in the All-Ireland series as well, nearly beat Tyrone in the final game, nearly beat Armagh as well. But what are we thinking here? Could Offaly maybe start fast? Declan Kelly obviously knows this team better than anyone.
This is an interesting one to call, actually. I do predict Westmeath to go up, but I do predict Offaly to have a very good league campaign as well. So this is a tight one, home advantage. But then again, in the Midlands, does home advantage mean anything, Aaron? That's the thing. So... Yeah. So it's a tough one. It really is a tough one to call. Offaly, I'll be intrigued this year. Jack Bryant, Cormac Egan, Lee Pearson's the captain, which probably epitomised that the younger generation is coming through in Offaly. And Declan Kelly's the new manager, the under 20 manager that won the All-Ireland a few seasons back. So I think Offaly will have a good season. I think they will. It's a tight one to call, it really is. Westmead, they performed brilliantly in the All-Ireland last year. And when you look at the three games, other than the Galway game, but then again, Ray Kinnellan getting sent off, you could argue if that didn't happen, Westmead would have tested Galway all the way. If it wasn't for John Heslin missing that shot against Tyrone, we could have been talking about Tyrone out of the championship at the group stage and Westmead beating them. And that would have been an incredible story. So that probably epitomised how Westmead were close last season. It's a tight one. I wouldn't be surprised of a draw here, to be honest. But it's a tough one. It really is. I'm going to go Westmead by a point, slightly. I'm going to go Westmead to win this game. But I wouldn't be shocked in the slightest if this ends up being a draw.
Yeah, I do think Westmead will get promoted. But I do think I actually fancy Offaly for this game, to be honest. Just at home, Derby, all the rest. And Offaly have been tinkering with sort of putting a run together in the league in the last couple of years. It's going to be hard to see if they do get promoted. Like, you've got Down in there, and that's obviously going to be very tough in terms of competition, obviously, for getting into the league. But at home, Declan Kelly, obviously, I think, you know, was obviously the manager who won the under-20 All-Ireland a couple of years ago. Yeah, I fancy Offaly to turn them over. Westmead have been slow starters in the league last couple of years as well. So, yeah, fancy Offaly to nick it. Clare versus Sligo. Interesting one, this one. Obviously, Clare have lost a lot of players in going into Division 3 this year. They've lost the bulk of 10 to 12 starters between players opting out and going travelling, and players who have retired. Sligo, on the other hand side, back in Division 3 for the first time since 2019. Obviously have a much changed team to that team. A lot of younger players have obviously made the breakthrough from the under-20s as well. It's a hard one to call. Like, it's mad. If you were to predict this a couple of months ago, you'd probably go for Clare, but now you look at it and think Sligo have a real chance here.
They definitely do. And with the youngsters coming through in Sligo in particular, I think Canis Mulligan is going to be massive around the middle of the park. Luke Marin apparently is another year in under 20, another year to develop. Pat Hughes is a good player, Niall Murphy. So there is the experienced players that are performing well, not just the youngsters in Sligo. So it'll be a very interesting one to call. It's going to be massive for Clare this year. The losses are colossal. And these aren't just 11 players that are big part players. You know, these are players that are their star men, essentially. Owen Cleary, Keelan Sexton, Cahill O'Connor, Darren O'Neill, Owen Collins, Kieran Russell, Podge Collins. These are huge. And Cullen Collins, the boot, the manager's gone. So it's a big job that Mark Fitzgerald is taking on. But then again, it could be an opportunity for Clare players in the younger generation to state their claim even more. The likes of Aaron Griffin, Emmett McMahon, and all them. Jamie Malone's another player that's missing. That's a huge loss as well in the half-back line and the half-forward line as well. It's a tight one, it really is. Again, like Offaly and Westby, this could end up a draw as well. Will it go for a draw or will it go... I'm going to go a draw. I think this will be a tight encounter. I think both sides will kind of cancel each other out. I think it'll be a draw. I think the Clare fans will get behind their team, but Sligo are well capable of coming down to the Cusack Park and getting a draw in this game. So I'm going to go for the draw between these two sides.
Yeah, I predicted a draw as well in my predictions video, but I actually do have a sneaky feeling Sligo will nick this, to be honest with you. I do think Sligo might just come out on top. I think there'll be a real feel-good factor around Sligo football, considering obviously the progression of them over the last few years. And I think there's going to be a lot of unknowns about Clare. It's almost like a completely new team, new manager, and it might take a while for them to find their feet. So, yeah, I think I'll go for Sligo to nick it maybe by 1 or 2 points. Wicklow versus Down has the makings of Down winning it quite comfortably. But Ushie McConville, he could set Wicklow up, you know, to frustrate Down. A lot of men behind the ball to try and hit Down on the counter-attack. So maybe there's a chance for Wicklow, but I think we'd both probably predict Down to win this one.
Yeah. The thing is, though, I think Wicklow at home in Aucrim, Fortress Aucrim, as it's called nowadays, it's going to be interesting to see how Down go down and perform against a side that's so good at home, no pun intended. Yeah, I think Yeah, it's going to be a tight one. I know Wicklow, I'm predicted to go down, but I think like Wicklow at home is a difficult one because they could set up defensively, they could frustrate the opposition. And then, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to go. I'm going to go down to win it slightly. I don't think it'll be a hammering simply because Wicklow at home are going to be absolutely gunning for this game. They're going to be gunning for every home game in order to stay up in this division. So, I'm gonna go down to win this, but slightly. I think Conor Laverty is building a good side there and down, but I think Wicklow will set up defensively. They'll try to frustrate them as much as possible. I think Down will just have enough to squeak over the line.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you with that one as well. Like, I can't see it being a hammering, but I can see Down just about having enough going down the home stretch. I think Wicklow will start the game fast in the first half. And again, similar to Sligo, I think there will be a feel-good factor around Wicklow. I think there'll be a great attendance at the game as well. And the fans will most certainly be up for it. Limerick versus Antrim, last game in Division 4 or in Division 3. This has the makings, really, of a bit of a relegation battle, like you were saying earlier, like about Tyrone Roscommon. Two sides, you know, playing each other on the opening day in terms of a relegation battle. Like Limerick coming down, obviously, from Division 2 under Jimmy Lee, who's part of the same regime as Billy Lee. So it's hard to know with Limerick. Like, at the end of the day, you do have to give them a bit of credit because last time they were in this division, they got promoted. They have lost a good few players since then, and it's kind of hard to know where Limerick football is at. Antrim, on the other hand side, semi-finals of the Tailteann Cup last year. I obviously had Kevin Kennedy on the show during the Antrim preview, and he was very positive about Antrim. He actually thinks they're going to get promoted. So there really is a good feel-good factor around Antrim football in the county at the minute. What do you think here? Like, I mean, a win for either side would be huge, I think.
Would be massive, and I definitely agree with you. It is a relegation four-pointer in this one. And just to hit up on Kevin's point there, honestly, I think Cavan have a willingness to stay up. I think there's a dogginess in them to stay up in Division 3. But I do think, when you look at it squad for squad across the division, I think Antrim have the worst squad in the division when you look at it overall. I think, look, respect obviously to their players, but I just feel that they have one of the worst group of players in there. Andy McAtee's a good coach. But when you look at Limerick squad, Wicklow's, Down's, Westmeath's, I think it's stronger than Antrim's. But I think Antrim have a willingness to win. I'm going to go for maybe a shocker here. I'm going to go Antrim to win it. And I just feel because, like, I there was a few seasons back, actually, in Division 3 itself, Limerick went up to Corrigan Park and beat Antrim. And that was considered a shock that time. I think Antrim might repay the favour here and beat Leitrim in their own backyard. I think this will be a very difficult campaign for Limerick. Look, in Division 2 last season under Ray Dempsey, they looked kind of out of their depths in many ways. Ian Corbett, I know, is a good player. James Nocton's a good player in the forward line. But Cian Sheehan, I don't know, what's the story with him? Is he going to Australia again? Is he going back? That's going to be a big one for Limerick. I think Danny Neville's a huge miss in the forward line. I think in the Division 3 campaigns in particular, I think he was the forward that looked the most liveliest for Limerick over the last few seasons. Owen Hurley might bring something new from Newcastle West. He was the top scorer in that Limerick championship. Maybe he will bring something into the Limerick team. But I think Antrim might just have enough because we're talking us to go on and win this game.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Limerick, I think, to win at home. I think Jimmy Lee obviously won a couple of county titles in charge of Newcastle West as well. So I think he knows a good core group of those players, and a fancy Limerick to come through. Looking at both of our predictions then. So these are my predictions for Division 3, Westmeath and Down, both to be promoted, Down to go up as champions. I think Sligo will finish in third, Offaly fourth, Clare fifth, Limerick sixth, and I think Wicklow and Antrim will get relegated. Matthew's predictions, Westmeath and Down, both to get promoted. So we both agree on that one. Offaly, Clare, Sligo, and then Antrim in sixth. And then Limerick in seventh and Wicklow in eighth. So I suppose not too different there, really, in terms of predictions. Maybe just the Antrim prediction is the only one that's different. Looking at Division 4, Laois versus Longford, I suppose there's a game here that stands out. Two sides you'd imagine will be gunning for promotion. Longford obviously beating the Dubs last year. I don't know if anyone follows the Gaelic Games fan TV Facebook page, but I feel like my Facebook page is sort of like the black sheep of the family when it comes to all the social pages I have. But kind of bizarrely, a lot of people keep saying Longford are going to win the All-Ireland now that they beat Dublin. And if you go over and look at some of the comments over there, when I posted like Longford's win versus Dublin, some of the comments are actually quite funny. Like people saying Longford need to be split in two and all this crack. But look, like, I know it was all jokes aside, it was probably Dublin's third or fourth team, but Longford, fair play to them. And look, they do have a lot of very good players. Paddy Christie, obviously as manager, it's a big game this, because whoever wins this, you think, you know, looking at their next couple of games, might, you know, will be on a run towards promotion, I think.
And yeah, I think this is a promotion, for a pointer. I think this will be, I think both sides will go up at the end of it. I think Laois will have enough in this game because they're at home. I think Laois are way too good for Division 4. Evan O'Carroll, Mark Barry, Mark Timmins, Kieran Lillis, Killian Roach. There are some very good players in the Laois team. And we're noting Justin McNulty, their manager, last 10-year All-Ireland quarterfinal in 2012. And they tested Dublin all the way. And I'm not sure where you're there, Aaron. I'm not entirely sure.
No, it was on holiday, actually, when it happened. It was in Portugal. But I remember watching it and thinking, oh my goodness me, what is going on?
But that was a different Laois team, wasn't it? With the likes of Paul Kingston, Donny Kingston, Ross Munley. Like, that was some Laois team, I have to say. Mm. And there are some different players from the Laois team than there is now. But I think Justin McDonald is a very astute coach. I think he will get enough out of these Laois players. I think they will have enough for Longford in this game in particular. But I think Longford, in the end, I think they will go up as second place in Division 4.
Yeah, I think Laois will definitely get promoted. I think Longford, look, will definitely be in the conversation. And, you know, I think between them and Leitrim, I think it's going to be neck and neck, in my opinion. Speaking of Leitrim, going away to Waterford, interesting. Like, I think Leitrim are going to get promoted, but I know you don't really have too high hopes for Leitrim and Andy Moran. But surely, like, they are going to win this game away to Waterford, you'd imagine.
Yeah, I think this is a given. And unfortunately for Waterford, I hope they do well. But this is the sort of game in Division 4 that everybody points towards and say, yeah, that's a win. I'm sorry to say this to Waterford fans, but I don't think they'd be bothered at the same time. Like, Yates football, camogie, hurling, and soccer nowadays is much further on the pedestal than men's football, unfortunately. And even if Fitzgerald went out of that job saying that he struggled to believe Waterford would be in the All-Ireland series or even the Tatler Cup in the next few seasons, it's that bad. So, yeah. And even though I looked at Cork in the McGrath Cup, or him against Cork in the McGrath Cup a few weeks back, 120 to 6 points, that's a hammering. And that's against Cork, so it's second or third team. So it doesn't look good for Waterford. And even Brian Luby, who was one of the main players in defence for Waterford, he's now gone playing with the Waterford Hurlers. So what does that tell you? And it's going to be a hard season for Waterford, hard slog. I think Laois will win this game pretty comfortably, 5 or 6 points, I'd say.
Just on Waterford, like, do you think it's going along the lines of Kilkenny in terms of they mightn't have a football team in the distant future? Or do you think there is a potential for Waterford to turn it around? Because, like, when you look at Clare, for example, or you look at Limerick, you look at these counties who do have a predominant hurling background, they've been able to get the best out of their football teams as well. Like, Limerick obviously going up to Division 2, Clare going up to Division 2. So it is possible, but at the same time, like, it does look like it's going the other way, if we're being honest.
And worth noting as well, Tipperary went the whole way in winning the Munster Championship in 2020. Yeah. So it is possible. It is possible if you put it in the hard work. But I was chatting actually when I was working for Paul Shotless's old podcast, the Backdoor G. It's now the Rule of Pod, White Pod. That's a very good podcast there. I was doing a bit of reporting for that. And I was interviewing Brian Luby before their game against Limerick in the Munster Championship. And I asked him, is there an aim to get up there with the likes of Limerick, Clare, Tipperary, to challenge Cork, not necessarily Kerry, because Kerry are way above, but Cork in particular, to challenge them in the next few seasons? And he said, that's definitely an aim. Limerick and Clare and all them is a pedestal we want to get up to. Mm. But now he's gone with the Waterford Hurlers. So I think he's just like, that's not the project that I was kind of hoping for. This isn't going anywhere. And it really is sad to see, because Waterford actually got promoted, I think, in 2011 or 2012. It's a long way away now. And I think Waterford are going backwards down the Kilkenny route rather than the Tip and Limerick and Clare route. It's just sad to see. But at the same time, their club teams seem to be doing well over the last few seasons, like Rath Gormaik in particular and the Nair. So maybe there's a pedestal to get up to in that particular facet. But worth noting as well, 7 years ago in 2017, I went up to a game in Farfield, Waterford against Cork, and Waterford came so close to beating Cork. They only lost by a point that night. I know Cork were at a bad stage then under Patter Healy, but if Waterford won that game, maybe more Waterford players would have been interested. So it's just amazing, Aaron, how one close shave could derail a whole county in the next few seasons. And imagine if they won that game. Imagine the excitement around the county in terms of its men's football team. But it went the other way. They lost that game. It was disappointing. And they've gone the other way, unfortunately.
Yeah, I remember seeing the highlights of that game actually on the Sunday game, and you nearly couldn't believe what you were seeing in front of you. Mikey says, can see Waterford boycotting the Munster Championship in the coming years. Now that the Tailteann Cup is in place, there's less of a requirement for these kind of teams to just get hammered every time they play a provincial game. It's pointless. Yeah, look, I mean, not to boil into championship structures and everything in this video, but I do think there needs to be seeding in provincial championships. Like, we shouldn't have Kerry against Waterford, Kerry against Tipperary, Dublin against... coincidentally, it looks like we're going to play Mead maybe in our quarterfinal game this year, so maybe it won't be as one-sided as previous years, but Dublin against Laois, Dublin, you know, against Wicklow, these type of games, I just think they're just very pointless. They're very, very pointless, but there we go. London against Wexford. Wexford, you never know what Wexford is going to turn up. I actually think London are going to win this game. What do you think?
I think it'll be a tight game, but I think Wexford will edge it by a point. I think John Hagerty is actually getting a right tune out of the Wexford team. Last year was a bit of an unknown, but then they, in the Tailteann Cup, they were brilliant that season. Once they got their whole team together, they beat Long Offaly by scoring, I think, 122 from play last season, which was absolutely incredible. And I think Wexford are on the right step to recovery, more or less. London, and I said this in my video, it's an unknown commodity with them. You don't know what to expect from them. What players are going to be there. I think Liam Gallagher's actually retired from intercounty football, so best of luck to him. Or was Gallagher? I'm not sure who it was. In all honesty, Gavin, I think,
yeah,
he's going to be a massive loss for London. So, it's a tight one, but I just feel Wexford will edge this one by a point or two.
Yeah, I think I'll go for London, just for the vibes and all that. Tipperary versus Carlow. Yeah, I mean, another one. Tipperary have regressed massively. Carlo, you don't know what you're going to get with them at the best times as well. It's a hard one to call this. I might go for a draw maybe on this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go Carlo on this one. A goal or a point or whatever. I think Carlo will go on and win this game. And a lot of people are underestimating Carlo, I think. Jordan Morrissey in midfield in particular is a player I'm excited to see. Will Adam McCarron come in from Aero game from Carlow? I know he played against Kilmacud Crokes. Sean Gannon's a good player there as well. I know they've lost the likes of Paul Broderick over the last few seasons, but Carlow, they perform well in the Tailteann Cup over the last two seasons. I think there's a good team there under Niall Carew, so I think Carlow should have enough to win this game. As for Tipperary, a lot of players have just left. Like Robbie Coyley is actually playing football down at West Cork near where I live. He's still going for his club in Barry Row, but he just didn't commit to the cause for Tipperary the last two seasons. Conor Sweeney, will he recover from his long-term injury? Remains to be seen. Michael Quinlivan's quit the panel. Sean O'Connor should be probably their main forward over the next two seasons. But just feel this Tipperary team is regressing a small bit. I think Carlo will have enough for them in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a draw. But again, yeah, I'd probably edge towards Carlo if I had to pick someone. But I think I will go for a draw. Looking at my predictions for Division 4, I'm going Laois and Leitrim to get promoted. Wexford 3rd, Longford 4th, Tip 5th, Carlow 6th, London 7th, and Waterford, unfortunately, I do think are going to lose every game, unfortunately. And Matthew's predictions are Longford and Laois to get promoted. Laois in 1st. Wexford 3rd, Carlow 4th, Leitrim 5th, Tipperary 6th, London 7th, and Waterford 8th. I suppose we were kind of talking about Waterford a little bit there, but you don't think Leitrim are going to get anywhere under Andy Moran, unfortunately?
I've got to the stage now, Aaron, where in the last two seasons I predicted Leitrim to go up and they didn't. So I'm just done backing them. I just noticed from Leitrim team, I know Andy Moran, I want him to succeed as manager, but it's just not working. The performance against New York in particular last year probably epitomized that. They were very, very poor in that game. They finished fifth last year in Division Four as well. And they lost a few crucial games, Wexford being one of them in Division Four last season. So I just feel Leitrim will have a bit of an off season again this term. And Andy Moore, it's his last season, according to many. So yeah, I think he'll go at the end of the season. And maybe Mickey Graham will take up the main reins next season. And I think that'll be ultimately be the best thing for Leitrim football.
Yeah, I just highlighted a comment here earlier from Keane, who was responding to Mikey, who was asking about the potential for Leitrim this year. Keane was saying Leitrim have the potential to win promotion from Division 4. Hopefully, it's paramount that we beat Waterford in round one and then see what happens. Mickey Graham has been a great addition. I do fancy Leitrim to get promoted. I think they have been knocking under the door the last couple of years. I know they did have a very bad Tailteann Cup. They lost every game, I think, and obviously following on from the New York defeat. I can see your points, definitely, that I think Leitrim could struggle. I did hear that Keith Byrne is going to be missing for large parts of the league. I don't know if that's true. My prediction actually was before I heard Keith Byrne was going to be missing. So I would be a little bit surprised if Keith Byrne isn't going to be there, or surprised if Leitrim got promoted. But at the same time, I still think they do have a lot of good players, in fairness. Before we finish up, in terms of your player of the week and shock of the week, anything you think might happen?
Player of the week, I'm going to go, I think a guy that's worth keeping an eye on in the Kerry and Derry game, I think Dylan Gainey. He might hit form. I think that's a guy that definitely should be watched. Sean O'Shea at full forward as well. I know he's well known across the country, but in that particular role, will be very interesting to see how that transpires on Saturday. In terms of shock of the week, few and far between. I'm going to go, I think if you regard this as a shock, possibly Antrim beating Limerick in Division 3, I think that'll be the shock of the weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do apologise if anyone can hear a bit of drilling going on. I actually don't know what's going on, but this is, not great time, and maybe it's the Meath fans trying to break in. I really don't know what's going on, but we'll have to figure that out in a few minutes. Yeah, in terms of moment of the week or shock of the week, I'd probably go Roscommon to beat Tyrone. Player of the week, I think is a difficult one. Enda Smith, maybe, if I was to, stick along the Roscommon train. Dylan Gainey, I think, could have a very, very good game for Kerry. It is a tough one because you're looking at so many players. But do you know what? The player, I think, Oisín Gallen, I think maybe is an obvious pick because of how good he looked in pre-season. He has looked good in pre-season, and I think he'll start very strong against Cork. So, yeah, probably go Roscommon to beat Tyrone. Is it that big of a shock? Maybe not, but that's what I'm going to go for. And I'm also going to go for Oisín Gallen to be the player of the week. So, yeah, cheers anyone who tuned in. Make sure to check out Matthew's podcast as well, the Gaelic Statsman. Obviously, his own predictions are up on his channel as well, so you can check them out when you get a chance. And cheers anyone who tuned in. Hit the like button, subscribe, leave a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you could. Matthew, cheers for coming on, and we will speak to you all soon.